Hello everyone, welcome to Let's Talk Trends. I'm Dawn, Content and Communications Lead of Land Global Investors. Thank you so much for being with us here today. Joining us on this episode is Wee Ban Yu, our Head of Japan Equities here at Land Global Investors. He has over 20 years of experience in the fund management industry, managing Japanese equities. Recently, our Land Global Japan Fund just won the Best Fund Over 10 Years by the Refinitiv Lipper Fund Awards Taiwan 2023. Through the years, the fund has won numerous awards for its outstanding performance, so I'm really glad to have him on the show today to discuss his valuable insights on the Japan market. Welcome, Ban Yu.
Thanks, Dawn, for having me here. It's great to be here.
Thank you. So we have lots to discuss today, so let's kick it off with the most recent news that just came over the wire. Earlier this month, Warren Buffett has grabbed headlines by stating that the Berkshire Hathaway has increased its stake in Japan's five major trading houses and potentially other Japanese companies too. That has definitely caused quite a stir in the market. Since late 2020, which I believe almost coincides with Warren Buffett's initial investment in Japan, there has been a return of value investing globally on the back of rising inflation and the current high interest rate environment. And why this is interesting to me is Japan is a very talked about market, about value stocks. We have high quality companies that are cash rich, but always trading below their intrinsic value. So putting all that together, how do you think about the Japan market now against the current macroeconomic backdrop?
There's quite a number of embedded questions in that one question. So let's start with Warren Buffett, Berkshire Hathaway's investment. I believe when he started investing in Japan, it was in middle of 2020. And I believe when he invested in the trading houses, it was because he was bullish on commodities and resources.
I see.
Yeah, because the trading houses have large investments in resources. Mm. And for example, energy, oil and gas, copper, the steel trading commodities. So he could have bought these stocks as a cheaper alternative to right. buying the commodities right. themselves. So, and he has done well, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So currently, the most recent news is he has added on to these positions, and he was recently interviewed in Japan, and he's talked about potentially other stocks.
Yes.
So maybe he has changed his view on Japan as well. Mm-hmm. Right. So we'll have to see. But I think in terms of value investing, now the second topic, right?
Yes.
Value investing in Japan. I believe the value and growth cycle, it moves in a cycle.
Right.
That means at certain points in time, certain stocks will outperform. So for value stocks, the main period where they outperform is when it's coming up from an economic downturn. Yeah, and earnings are growing tremendously from a very low base. So these stocks will typically outperform. But in general, because of the very low interest rate environment in the last 10 to 12 years, growth stocks have outperformed.
Yes.
Yeah. So especially during COVID.
Yes.
Right? During COVID, you have the lockdown of the real economy.
Yes.
And you have the booming online economy. So growth stocks are related to that. So there was a huge outperformance in growth. But thereafter, right, since we are coming back to normal, so there's a reversal and value stocks have come back. And in particular, in 2020 onwards, we have inflation coming back as well. And a huge rise in interest rates, especially in the US. And the biggest beneficiaries are actually the banks. And they are also considered value stocks.
I see.
Yeah, so banks have outperformed. So from the point of view, right, whether value is a good investment or not, it really depends on the time period. But now currently, there's something additional in Japan.
Right.
So most recently, the Tokyo Stock Exchange has requested companies whose price to book is below one. for them to explain and come up with a plan to improve their corporate value with a view to their cost of capital. So this in Japan, this has a particular significant context to it because in Japan, a lot of companies have many businesses. Some are doing well and some are not doing well. But if as a whole they are profitable, the companies don't really do much about the non-performing parts. Another aspect of Japan is they used to have a lot of cross-holdings between companies. This is to cement the relationship between companies. So a lot of these cross-holdings were not unwound throughout these years, so they were kept. So that's why now you have this, the stock exchange saying, you know, with a view to the cost of capital. Why? Because the cross-holdings and these non-performing businesses, they hold up a lot of capital of your assets, right? It's actually locked up and they are not giving you a good return. So they are telling the companies, please come up with a plan either to unwind your cross-holdings and also, no, for non-performing businesses, maybe you can spin it off, merge it with another company and make it more profitable. So already in Japan, a lot of companies are doing that. Yeah, but these are the companies whose management are, you know, more aware. They are more aware of the cost of capital, about governance, about shareholders' returns. So they are already doing it, but there are still quite a number of companies who are not really doing that. Yeah, so this is something like a mandate or no, like a prompter, a catalyst for the companies to do something.
Which I believe it's a positive and a big catalyst, right? Because in the past, there has been some concerns, like, you know, the corporate governance in Japan. And I think right now, with the Tokyo Stock Exchange, as you mentioned, coming out to say that could be a real change that we are seeing in the market and definitely causing a lot of investors' interest. So I want to just go back a little bit to the more macro factors that you mentioned just now. As you said, rightfully pointed out, there has been a rotation from the growth to the value stocks in 2020, you know, pandemic, low interest rates. And in 2022, we started to see inflation come up and you said Fed started hiking rates and inflation is coming back. So Japan has faced for such a long time a persistent deflationary environment. So now we saw a change again this year that in January, Japan's inflation hit a 41-year high. So now we are seeing inflation coming back to Japan. So on the back of that, do we think that the inflation is finally taking hold in Japan? Or do we think it's purely transitory? And how does this translate to the Japanese stock market in terms of if a reflationary rally comes about?
Inflation has many aspects to it, particularly in Japan. So Japan is one of the countries where inflation came back fairly late relative to other countries. One of the reasons is the government was subsidizing oil, subsidizing grain, and therefore, you know, the prices in Japan did not rise as fast. Yeah, but by doing so, right, they are running, you know, huge trading accounts deficits, right? And also the central bank kept interest rates low and they kept their QE, where else everyone else was hiking interest rates. That meant that the currency was weakening sharply. And therefore, no, this builds an even bigger deficit. And therefore, with a bigger deficit and a declining currency, the cost of imports become more expensive. And that has come in right now. Right, the cost has increased, the imported cost, and therefore Japan is now facing a belated inflation push. Yeah. So, and the other push of inflation in Japan is basically wages. Why? Because there's a shortage of manpower. No, as we all know, the demographics in Japan are poor. No, the population is declining. And the workforce is obviously declining. But now, because the economy is reopening, right, more inbound tourists, more retail shops opening, no, economic activity returning, there's a shortage of labor, right? So even if the companies, no, are feeling the pinch, they will still need to hike wages to keep their workers. So these two aspects of inflation is coming back to Japan. And as we can see now, it could be possibly sustainable in the short term. Yeah, and it could change the mindset, no, of the consumer, of the corporates, such that they will think that, no, I may have to prepare for more inflation going forward.
Yes.
Yeah, and therefore, you know, they may need to spend now rather than later.
Right.
No, in the past, it's always been said deflation is one of the causes of Japan, both consumers and companies saving more than they're spending, mm-hmm. right? Because things get cheaper 1 year down the road.
Mm-hmm.
But it may not happen going forward.
I see.
Yeah, so it may encourage the consumers to spend more.
Mm.
If wages are rising, they may also, you know, be able to or feel that they can spend more rather than, you know, keep more savings, you know, in case my salary goes down.
Mm. Yeah. Well, this sounds positive for the Japanese stock market. As you mentioned, taking into the macro conditions that we're seeing, also some of the country-specific factors that we think are positive catalysts. So with that said, where do you think are the key opportunities in the Japanese stock market right now? And what are some of the key sectors or companies that are on your radar?
Okay, so for the Japan market, right? So currently, as we just mentioned, value could be something that you can look at. But we have to be careful when you are investing in value stocks.
Yes.
Because a company could be a value stock or cheap in valuations because the business is not doing well.
Right, cheap for a reason.
Yes, right. The industry could be, you know, in a structural decline.
Mm.
So investors are worried that 10 years down the road, it may not be there.
Right.
Right. So it may be cheap, but it could get cheaper.
Yes.
So you do not want to be caught in a value trap.
Yes.
Yeah. So for us, right, we rather look into companies that can generate growth,
mm-hmm.
that we can see will become bigger in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the longer term future, the better it looks. The better the company looks as well.
Mm-hmm.
So so for in general, right, for companies in Japan and even around the world, things in technology, technology, automation, not automation, you look at the declining demographics,
yes.
No, it's always going to be something that will be needed. And also healthcare, right?
Yes.
Again, it's also demographic related, and yes. also there's a lot of resources put into, you know, pharmaceuticals, healthcare, right? So these are growth areas.
Yes.
But in Japan, there's one additional factor now, which is your consumer, right? Like, as I mentioned, no, the economy is recovering, consumption is recovering,
yes.
your inbound tourists are coming back in a big way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yes. And the spending will increase. And Japan, before the pandemic, had a plan to increase the tourist numbers, no, to record levels, no, year after year. And I think that plan will come back into play. So already they have approved integrated resorts in Osaka. There could be a second one coming.
Mm.
So these are all longer-term plans to attract the tourist dollar.
Mm.
So I would say that, you know, this is one additional factor that we believe will probably come true in the mid to long term.
Yeah, I'm very optimistic. And all my friends are all going to Japan. And, you know, everyone's flooding back to Japan. I can't wait to visit Japan again. So with that said, now we have painted quite a positive picture on Japan, but we now, I think, you know, the question is, what are some of the key risks that you think, some of the wild cards that we see in the medium to long term for Japan?
So in Japan, well, at least in the current situation, right, on a macro basis and global basis, the high interest rates are a risk.
Yes.
No, we have seen, no, in the US, no, you have two regional banks going bankrupt. No, you have seen Credit Suisse being taken over by UBS. And this is, a large part of it is due to the difficult environment, high interest rates, no, slowing economy. Yeah. So it will happen. So these are the same factors that will affect Japan as well. And for Japan itself, other additional risks would be the stronger yen.
Yes.
Yeah. Which is why, you know, no, we talk about the Bank of Japan potentially unwinding their ultra-easy monetary policies.
Yes.
But they have to bear in mind, you know, if they allow bond yields to rise in Japan, one of the effects will be that the currency will strengthen.
Mm.
Right. Basically, Japanese companies, the biggest companies are exporters. Now they earn the export dollar, which means that a stronger yen will affect earnings.
Yes.
Yeah, and so what it will mean is your earnings will decline in Japan, and the stock market generally does not like earnings declines.
Mm.
So that is a risk for Japan in general.
Right. Just out of interest, as you mentioned about the ultra easy monetary policy, there's a lot of talk in the markets that Japan may change their yield curve control or abandon their yield curve control, as you said. So do you think that would actually happen in the short term, especially with the new government? And how do we feel that it may affect the Japanese market in the year ahead?
So the yield curve control and the negative interest rate policy, they were part of the previous Bank of Japan governor's measures. This was to help anchor rates at very low levels to help the economy, right? So now that the inflation has come back, wages has come back, and the rest of the world has seen rates rise, right? It is actually a good time to unwind this policy where the effect of rising rates will not be so clear, so significant, because when everywhere else the rates are high, so it means that when Japan lifts its rates, it means that the yen may strengthen, but not to a very large extent. One of the issues would be credit cost rising.
Right.
Yeah, when you have when your interest rates start to rise, then certain companies may feel the pinch if they're over leveraged, right? So we might see that. So they do have to weigh the pros and cons. But I feel that in general, it might be a good time to lift these measures. And we will see what he says, the new Bank of Japan governor, this Friday. They will have his first meeting as governor. And we'll see what he says during the meeting and whether he takes any action.
All eyes on the meeting then.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Vanyu, for being with us here today and sharing us such valuable insights on the Japan market. Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Here we are, the end of the episode. If you like our show, please subscribe to us on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts. Catch you guys next time.
Disclaimer. This advertisement has not been reviewed by the Monetary Authority of Singapore. This is for information only and is not a recommendation, offer, or solicitation. Information is subject to change without notice and is not to be relied on as advice. Investments are not guaranteed and are subject to investment risks. For more information, please visit www.lionglobalinvestors.com.